Ksuvas Perik Yud Mishnah Aleph 10:1. In this chapter, we discuss how one pays off ksubos from the estate when there are more than one woman or her heirs who are claiming to get paid on the ksuba. The first case here is the basic setup. Mishahaya nasu l'shtei nashim. If a person had been married to two wives, v'meis, and he dies. So let's say, for example, each one had their ikar ksuba, that's it. They each were entitled to 200 zuz. So that would be 400 in total. But let's say, for example, there's only 300 in the estate to go around. So how should that 300 be allocated amongst those two women? Harishona kodemes lishnia. The first wife gets priority before the second one. She is the senior creditor, as it were, because she has the predated ksuba. Her ksuba is first, and therefore it took the lien first on his assets. That being the case, all 200 gets paid off to woman A first, and then whatever's left, let's call it 100 if there are 300 to start, would then go to woman B. The Yorshe Erishona Kodun Yorshe Shnia. The similar kind of rationale would apply if it's not woman A and B who are the widows, but rather their heirs, the children of woman A and the children of woman B, who are now claiming to get each one wants their 200 zuz. The old estate just has 300 zuz, so then there's only 300 to go around, so the first set of children, the children from woman A, whose ksuba was dated first, gets all 200, and then the other children from woman B get the remaining 100. That's the din. Just an important side point, but just a technical important one, as the Bartender points out. You'll recall that for a woman to collect from her husband's heirs, she first has to take a shavua. She has to swear that her ksuba wasn't paid off previously. So that would be true over here too, that when each of these women are going to claim off of the heirs of their late husband's estate, they will have to take a shvua to swear before they can collect their ksuba. Now there's a technical point, which is that in the scenario where these women would die, let's say, or one of these women would die, so her heirs haven't collected, and the rule is if the parent couldn't collect on any obligation without making a shvua, and they haven't yet made the shvua, so then the heirs, the children, cannot collect because they certainly cannot make the shvua. So just for example here in our case, if woman A died before she collected her ksuba from the estate of her late husband, and she had not yet made the shvua that it was paid off, then her children won't be able to collect at all because they can't make the shvua that their mother had to make before being able to collect. Okay, next case in the Mishnah. Nasa es harishona v'mesa. First, the husband marries Miss A, and then Miss A dies. So that means that whatever she had passes on to him, the husband, because the rule is that a husband inherits his wife. That's straightforward. Now, nasa shnia. Then the husband goes and marries Miss B. Umes hu, but then he dies. So now, what does that mean? That means that you'll have two parties knocking on his door. You'll have Miss B, who's the widow, knocking on his door and saying, listen, heirs of the estate here, I have a ksuba, my 200 zuz, I want to get paid. However, at the same time, the children of Miss A will also become knocking on their door. Why? Because if remember that rule of benin dichrin, that the rule is that when a woman marries, including her ksuba, is that whatever she's entitled to in her ksuba, what she brings to marriage, and also in this case the 200 zuz, the ikar ksuba, that is paid specifically to her descendants to the exclusion of her stepchildren. So the case that I used back then was Miss A had a grandfather who left her the villa in Tuscany, so then she brings it in as nechsim alug. If she dies first, her husband inherits the villa, but when the husband dies, it's her children who will get the entire villa. None of the villa goes to their father's other children, their step-siblings, right? They're going to get all from, that's the rule of Bidin Dichrin, as boys, they'll inherit what their mother brought in. Including that is that the mother was receivable 200 zuz in her ksuba. So these boys will say, listen, we want the special consideration that was, you know, whatever my mom was promised, we want that. So let's say, for example, the estate only has 300 zuz to go around. So they want the 200 zuz that was promised in their mother's ksuva. And their step-siblings, their stepmother also wants the 200 zuz that she was promised in her ksuva. So how should they be divided up? So the answer says the Mishnah, Shnia V'yorsheha, the second woman, the widow, V'yorsheha, and even her heirs, Kodmin L'yorshvi Harishona. They get kadima, they get priority over the heirs of Miss A, the first woman. Meaning if there's 300 to go around, first she will get all 200, and then the residual 100 will go back to these boys. Now why, her meaning Miss A's children, why is that the case? Because although they're both claiming from the estate, they're claiming in two different roles. Miss B, who's trying to collect on her ksuba, is collecting as if she were like a bal chov, as a creditor. She's owed money. She laid out money, or she's entitled to money, she gets it back. So she's a creditor. So she gets paid first. The other boys, the heirs of Miss A, so they're claiming bidindich, and they're claiming on by rights of Yerusha, of inheritance, they should get paid. But of course, whenever you have an estate to settle, first all the creditors get paid out, and then the residual, what's left over after all the debts have been paid, will pass on to the heirs, the Yorshim. So in this case, we have one creditor, if you will, that's the Miss B who wants to collect on her ksuba. So she has to get paid in full, either her or her heirs. That contract has to get paid out, the ksuba contract. After that's paid out, so then the money that's left over can be distributed amongst the heirs. And in this case, we'll say that these heirs, since their mother was promised them specifically, so then they will be entitled to get that first, or whatever's left over first, ahead of any other distribution. In subsequent Mishnayos, coming up next, we'll talk about how to divvy up amongst competing heirs with competing claims.